Nice.
Go rehab.
Hello, my beautiful babes. This is Harper on Nice Girl Rehab, back again to give you a story. It's story time with Harper. So this is going to be a story about me and a friend of mine. He's a college friend. And this is a friend that happened to be a nice guy. So this is a story about a nice girl who befriended a nice guy and what happened. So hopefully you enjoy this story. And I'll probably talk a little bit about what I think would happen if nice girls and nice guys got together. Can they get together? I feel like maybe they could or maybe they couldn't. I don't know. I'm going to talk about it after the story, so stick around for that. But I'm going to introduce you to the concept of a nice guy. We've been talking about nice girls a lot because, of course, this is Nice Girl Rehab. But what is the male version of a nice girl? Is there a difference between a nice girl and a nice guy? Slightly. But I would say that a nice guy is mostly characterized by a guy who really doesn't understand. It's kind of the same thing, the same situation as a nice girl. But I feel like in most cases, nice girls are not really looking for just sex. I mean, some nice girls probably would, but for the most part, I think it's mostly wanting a relationship. And guys want that too, but I think for the most part, a lot of nice guys are concerned for the first important part is the sex aspect. So mostly that, and then also coming from an insecurity, having this ideology that women don't like guys who are nice, but at the same time, kind of the same concept of a nice girl where a lot of these guys truly aren't very nice and don't treat women in the way that women should be treated as a nice guy, a true, genuine nice guy would treat them. So this guy just thinks, oh, if I just do a lot of nice things for her, or if I, you know, am friends with her, then automatically I should be able to sleep with her or be able to have a relationship with her because I'm nice. So she has to be my girlfriend. And that's not how it works. There are other elements that come in. You have to have a physical attraction, mental attraction, same values, and a mutual respect and trust for each other. And that goes into this story that I'm going to be presenting to you right now. And I'm going to call my friend Michael. So Michael is this nice guy in the scenario. So I've known Michael probably for, I would say, at least 4 years. It'd been quite a while. I met Michael right out of high school. My first job when I was in college was, I hate to even think about it, but my first job was in fast food. It was at Dairy Queen, and I was the ice cream swirler at Dairy Queen. That was actually kind of fun, but it was super messy. Oh man, if you ever go to Dairy Queen, just think about like all of the ice cream that drips on the floor and gets sticky and it sticks on your shoes and it's so gross. But anyway, he worked at the Dairy Queen, and that's how we first met. We were co-workers at Dairy Queen. He was a really cool guy, seemed like a cool guy. We had worked together a couple of times. I knew some of his friends, and we all worked with other people who we knew. And because I worked with him, every once in a while I would hang out with him, and he was kind of a nerdy guy. He was into video games and into comic books and superhero things and things that I was interested in. So I had a common ground with Michael. So me and Michael would hang out, and he had a friend of his, and this friend of his, let's call him Fernando. This friend Fernando was a college buddy of his. So I had actually gotten out of my job at Dairy Queen, and I was just going to college and working somewhere else. So at that point in time, I was still hanging out with Michael, and Michael had introduced me to his friend Fernando, who he had classes with and who he had been childhood friends with. So Fernando to me was super attractive. I was really into Fernando. Fernando was also kind of a nerd and into comic books and stuff, which was just like a plus for me. And at the time, me being a nice girl, I really didn't know when guys were attracted to me or not. I kind of had an inkling, but for the most part, I would brush it off and I'd be like, oh no, he's just being nice to me, or yeah, he's just my friend. He just sees me as a friend type thing. So I was pretty oblivious to signs. But Michael, not knowing, but Michael had an interest in me. And at the time, Michael was with another girl he was interested in. Michael, by the way, was the type of person who was kind of like a player, I guess. He would kind of jump around from girl to girl, sleeping with them, not really being in relationships, mostly like a sexual friends with benefits type thing. So he was with one of his friends, in quotes, and Michael never really showed me that he was interested. At least I didn't think so, but Michael was interested in me, and I was actually interested in his best friend, Fernando. So me and Fernando started talking, and I guess it kind of got a little bit awkward, but we still hung out with each other. Me, Fernando, and Michael would hang out. Fernando and I had friends in college that we would hang out with. And it was just kind of that thing where me and Fernando turned it in. It turned into friends with benefits, and Michael was out of his relationship, and so he was on the prowl. And this was the time when I realized that Michael was actually into me. So I started hanging out with Michael alone, and which was fine because I'd hung out with him before, and we would play video games or whatever. And there was one time I was hanging out with Michael, and I remember being uncomfortable because Michael's gaze really wasn't on anything else but me. And playing a video game and somebody staring at you is very awkward, very awkward. So I would look at Michael and kind of be like, yeah, what do you want? And then he'd just look at me and smile, and then I would go back to playing the video game, and then I'm like, okay, I really need him to stop. And so Michael would, we'd be talking to each other, and we were at his house, and Michael would invite me on his bed. And of course, that's fine. We're in his bedroom. There's nowhere else to sit but his bed. So we sit on his bed and we're talking and everything, just kind of hanging out, shooting the shit. And then Michael is kind of moving closer to me. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? I'm like backing away. I didn't have any sexual interest in Michael. He was just a friend for me. So it was pretty awkward. And then him trying to like get closer to me, and then basically, at that point, professing his love for me, which was really just, you know, I think you're really pretty, and like, I really like you, and I would like to kiss you. And I said, no. I said, Michael, I don't really see you like that. Of course, I was really awkward back then, so it was kind of me fumbling through saying, I don't like you, but really, I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't think I want to do that. And then of course he persisted, as nice guys do. They don't really understand no for no, which is not a good thing. But so he would persist and be like, no, but like I really want to kiss you. Let's just cuddle. Let's just hang out. And I'm like, no, Michael, you're my friend. I don't want to cuddle and hang out with you, and I don't want to have sex with you. And that was the definitive moment where I was just kind of like, I don't think me and Michael can be friends anymore. This is gonna be a little bit awkward. And I was still hanging out with Fernando, and that was his best friend. So I'm like, how can he try to have sex with me when I've obviously been with his best friend? This is like some crazy ass triangle that I don't want to be in anymore. So stopped hanging out with him unless I was hanging out with someone else and him. And then, you know, it kind of got to the point where even when I was hanging out with other people, he would kind of make this thing about, oh, you know, Harper's such a prude or something, or say some stupid comments, which really weren't true. I was definitely not a prude back then, I can tell you that. But even now, your girl got game, okay? But it was just kind of like him being an asshole because he expected that because he was friends with me and we were hanging out that I was interested in him, and that wasn't the case. And I definitely let him know there was no me playing games with him or anything like that. But he kind of made it into to be as if I was this harlot girl who was kind of playing games with him and making him feel like crap, and you know, how dare you like lead me on like that. And I was like, whatever, dude. So I stopped being friends with him, and it was actually a very long time that I stopped being friends with Michael. And I kept contact with Fernando. Of course, things change and we fell out. But after me falling out with Fernando, I had already lost contact with Michael. So years later, I had actually moved to Orlando to go to college and left my hometown and basically stopped contact with a lot of people in my hometown. And Michael, every once in a while, I'd see him on Facebook or any kind of like social media platform. And didn't really say anything to him. I kind of saw what his life was like. He was really into wrestling and things and wanted to be a pro wrestler. So I got to see him do his wrestling thing, which was really cool. And then, you know, it was just kind of like that. But after college, I did a community service program for a year, and then I finally came back home. And after being away from home for at least 3 years, guess who decides to come springing back to life and crawling back into my life? Michael. So it was actually maybe 2 months after I'd come back to my hometown. And for my listeners who don't know, I am an artist, graphic designer, but an illustrator as well. And I do a lot of artwork, and I have shows where I sell my prints and things like that, and I give people my card if they want any kind of graphic design work. And that was what I was doing. I was at an art show and selling my work. And Michael, on my social media, messages me and says, "Hey, I see that you are at an art show, and I really wanted to go. How much is it? I want to come see you, and I want to buy some of your work. I've seen your work, I really like it. I want to come see it." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, that's awesome. And hey, like, that's great. How are you doing?" type thing. And he was like, "You know, I really want to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a long time and want to catch up." Great. That's awesome. It'd been so long that I forgot about Michael being a nice guy. So I was like, "Yeah, sure. Let's go to this place and I'll be here and you can talk to me and I'll show you what I'm doing." So Michael actually comes to the art show and he is happy and he is so involved in asking me about my art, and he's like, "Man, I love what you're doing, and I want to know like what you've been doing since we haven't talked for a long time." And I was like, "Yeah, this is so awesome. Like, I'm really glad that you came." He bought some of my artwork, which was really appreciated. You know, as an artist, you love when people appreciate your artwork enough to buy it, but not just that, enough to show it off. He was ready to show off my artwork, which was great. And I was like, "Thanks, Michael. Like, this is awesome." And he was like, "You know, since he was into his wrestling, he wanted a logo. And because I'm a graphic designer, I do logos." And he knew that. And he said, "Hey, how about we go out for coffee or something? I'm really interested in getting you to work with me and design a logo for my wrestling career. I want to talk to you about that. And I think this would be a good chance for us to catch up with each other." That sounds amazing. I thought that was a great idea. So I'm like, yeah, sure, let's hang out. So we decided to hang out at a coffee shop. We were going to the coffee shop, and I'm thinking, Michael seems really cool now. Like, he seems level-headed. He's doing what he loves to do. He's passionate about it. He really wants to reconnect. And I'm not the type of person to have grudges. I definitely am not. I feel like everybody deserves a second chance, and I definitely believe that everybody can change. So I was decided to give Michael a chance. So we go to the coffee shop, and everything's great. We get some coffee, we get some snacks, we get some whatever, and we're sitting down, and the conversation goes into what we've been doing with our lives. And we're talking and we're laughing, and it's kind of like the relationship, the friendship that we had before all of the nice guy shit, before all the, oh, I really like you and I just want to have sex with you at all costs type thing. And he actually apologized for his behavior. He said, Harper, I want you to know that I'm sorry about what I did. I was an asshole back then. I was very immature, and what I did wasn't right. And I just hope that you can forgive me because I've learned a lot from that, and I'm trying to get away from that past and be a better person. I said, you know what, Michael? I appreciate that you are apologizing to me. And yeah, you were kind of an asshole. And I definitely agree that everybody can change. And I'm glad that you have learned what you've done and that you're willing to, make a positive change for yourself. So thank you very much for that. I forgive you. And Michael was really elated that I had forgiven him. And it was a good moment. It was a great moment. So we keep talking. And I'm starting to notice that Michael's never really bringing up anything about his logo work he wanted done. Mostly about what he's been doing, who he's been dating, whatever. I mean, we were going to talk about that anyway. But it was kind of weird that we're going to the coffee shop to talk about business as well, and business wasn't really being brought up. And then, right after I had accepted Michael's apology, I started to realize that in our conversation, weird little snippets of the nice guy was coming out through the conversation. So we would talk about him dating people, and he's like, yeah, it doesn't really work out with these girls. I don't know. Just something about him. I'd be like, what is it, Michael? What are you talking about? And he's like, I don't know, the girls that I'm hanging out with, they're a certain type of way, and I just don't like the way that they are. And then he turns to me and looks, and he's like, but if I were to take you out on a date, it'd be a little different, 'cause you're like super cool and everything. Stuff like that, sprinkled in, like peppered in the conversation, and it kind of at first took me aback, and I was like, okay, this is getting a little weird. And he's like, I'm just joking, I'm just joking. And I'm just thinking, what friend jokes about that? I've got plenty of guy friends. Michael isn't my only guy friend, and I don't know any of my guy friends that casually joke about taking me out on a date. That doesn't happen. That doesn't come into any conversation with my guy friends. So I was like, okay, well, maybe his sense of humor just is shit, but I mean, I'm just gonna let it go. So we just keep talking. And then he brings some other shit up, something about I like girls with a body like yours, Harper. Like you got the perfect body. Who says that? Come on, who the fuck says that? What guy friend ever says that shit? In any capacity, in any joking manner or serious manner, if they bring that up, of course you're going to question whether or not they're only going to be friends with you. And he was very clear and adamant with me when he apologized that he was only interested in being friends with me, that that part of his life was over. He wasn't attracted to me anymore. He had moved on, whatever. And didn't really seem like it from the comments that he was making. I kind of shrugged it off. Like I said, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt in that regard. So I just kind of ignored it. But definitely stayed in the back of my mind. After about 2 hours of being at this coffee shop and talking, I decided to talk about business, because that was half the reason why we were there to begin with, was to talk about the logo. So we started to talk about that, and he actually was wearing this shirt that kind of intrigued me, and I was like, what is that shirt? And it was actually of this video game called Cuphead. I don't know if any listeners are familiar with video games or this video game in particular, but it's an interesting game. He told me about it. I never heard about it before. And he suggested, hey, I've got the game. You can come play it with me at my house. And I was like, cool. So we kind of wrapped up our meeting at the coffee shop. Didn't really do a whole lot of business talk, but it was nice to catch up, and it was nice to just talk about everything that was going on in our lives and what we were passionate about and our dreams and goals and everything like that. So I found it to be a successful evening. I was just kind of uncomfortable with the fact that there were a few comments made that kind of gave me alerts, some red flags there. I didn't want to overthink it too much, but I still, in my mind, and this is now after being a former nice girl and catching the signs of things like this and being more aware of my boundaries and people who are crossing my boundaries, really makes the red flags go off, and they're like, beep, beep, beep. And then I kind of think about it. I'm like, wow, that really made me uncomfortable. I didn't like that. So I actually kind of thought about that a little bit more, and I let it go, because I was like, you know what? He's apologized. He's a different person. He might have just been joking, and his jokes are shit. So I just went on with my life. And we had planned to hang out maybe like 2 days after our meetup. So I actually was talking to him through text before we met up with each other, and was just talking to him, and it seemed like the more I was talking to him, the more the comments were coming out. And I was asking him about what we were going to do when we hang out, because I was like, well, we can play the video game and stuff, and like, you know, would you like me to bring some stuff that you'd like to play or something? Just kind of asking him what the plan was for the day. I'm the type of person that does like to be prepared in situations, even though it's kind of annoying. I can be pretty spontaneous, but sometimes I want to know what we're going to do. You know what I mean? And so I was asking him, hey, like, what do you have planned? Are we just going to play video games or what? So he was just kind of like, you know, honestly, I don't really care. I could just sit all day and stare at your pretty face, and I'd be fine. Like, almost verbatim. I'm not going to say it's verbatim, but pretty much to that extent is what he said. He was like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter as long as I can be with you and stare at your pretty face. And when I saw that come up on the screen, I had two choices at that point. It was either cut it right now, cut the shit and get to the point and tell him what's up, because it seems like even though he had made sure to tell me that he was not interested in being anything more than friends with me, his actions were saying differently than his words, and even his words were coming across pretty blatant. Or just ignore it and go hang out with him and possibly have a very uncomfortable experience. I didn't want the latter decision. So I decided to nip it in the bud, and I sent him a text, and I thought it was actually a pretty thoughtful text. It wasn't like me accusing him of anything or anything. It was really just me wanting to put us both on the same page. And I was a little confused by these mixed signals that he was giving me. And I wanted to set the record straight, because if we're gonna reclaim this friendship, there needs to be some kind of standard of what we're expecting in the friendship. With anything, with any kind of relationship, you do need to know where you stand with that person. And I think it's just nice for both people to at least be on the same page. So I sent a text to him and I said something along the lines of, Michael, I just wanted to say this, and don't take this the wrong way, because I am just a little confused and I needed some clarification, just so that we're both on the same page. But you've been making comments and I'm a little uncomfortable about them, and I just wanted to make sure that we are both on the same page, and me saying that I only see you as a friend and I'm not expecting anything more from our friendship than us just being friends. And I'm hoping that's the same thing with you, and I don't want this to be awkward. I'm just trying to let you know. And I thought that was pretty nice. I thought that was pretty, like, you know, it's just basically letting somebody know what's up and how I felt. And apparently it wasn't appreciated, because I got a text back from Michael, which really saddened me, because I was willing to make the friendship work, and we had only been talking for a couple of days, and I felt like he was a changed man, a changed person. Far gone were his former nice guy days. But he sends me a text that says something like, Harper, how dare you? I apologize to you, and you forgave me, and then you're gonna turn around and accuse me of trying to get in your pants? No, it's not like that. I was just joking, and this is awkward because I just wanted to be friends with you, but obviously you aren't able to forgive me, so I don't think this is gonna work out. And I was just like, well, I understand that you're a little upset right now, but I didn't mean it to be like that. I just wanted to make sure that we're both on the same page, because I felt like, you know, there were two different things being said. And he was basically like, didn't answer. And then I had asked him, well, are we still hanging out tomorrow? What's going on? And he didn't answer. So basically, in a weird way, I was friend ghosted. So not only did Michael practically ghost me on something that didn't really need to be ghosted on. I mean, he could have perfectly said, hey, I'm just upset with you. I mean, if you're truly a friend, you would just be like, I'm upset with what you said, but at least answer back, like be respectful enough to answer back. So at this point, I can only imagine that his intentions were a little bit different than what he was portraying. So let's rewind this back to the moment where he had wanted to reclaim the friendship and apologize and everything like that. When he's saying, oh, I'm so sorry for the person that I used to be, really he's saying, I think that I've changed, but I really haven't. And really all I've done is change my tactics and how I can manipulate people into thinking that I want to be friends with them. But really, I'm actually still attracted to you, but I don't want to tell you I'm still attracted to you because I'm scared about what you'll say, because I know that you're not attracted to me, but I'm going to make it seem like I just want to be friends with you. And then maybe later, if we're friends for a long enough time, I can kind of like get closer to you, and somehow you'll learn to love me, and we'll ride off into the sunset in a glorious fairy tale ending. Something like that. I don't know. probably less dramatic. But yeah, basically what Michael was doing was lying. He was lying to himself and to me, because Michael still secretly had his college crush on me, and instead of accepting that, and instead of coming to me years later and saying, hey, I apologize for being an asshole and all of that, and you know, I'm still a little bit attracted to you, and I understand if you're not, but let's be friends if you want to be friends, or I actually want to take you out on a date or something. Just be real. Just be upfront. If he would have been upfront with me at the get-go, I don't know. He could have possibly had a chance. I mean, at the same time, it's been a very long time since we were talking to each other. He's not a bad person. And yeah, I wasn't really physically attracted to him. But at the same time, I mean, like I said, there are more proponents to a relationship. You've got to be trusting. You have to have emotional attractiveness. And it seemed like he had all those things because he seemed like a more mature version of the Michael that I knew in college. But instead, he decided to do the nice guy thing and pretend like he wanted to be my friend. And really, all he wanted was maybe a relationship, but mostly just sex, from what it seems like. And when I call him out on it, because I was uncomfortable, it was obvious that he was giving out signs of him not really wanting to be in a friendship with me, and only a friendship. And when I finally called him out, he decides, instead of being a mature person in that situation, that was definitely a way he could have been mature, by saying, you know what, yeah, I actually am still attracted to you, and I want to see how this goes, and I just would like for you to give me a chance, or yeah, I am attracted to you, and I just wanted to, you know, reconnect with you, because you're a very nice person, and I've always thought that, you know, you were a cool person, but I was mean to you, and I just wanted to, like, give it a second chance. If he was honest, even after I had caught him on his bullshit, if he was honest, that would have been so much better, and that would have rekindled the friendship, compared to him freaking out because I accused him of something he was actually doing, and ghosting me. You know, obviously the friendship didn't really matter that much to him if he'd rather not talk to me than be mature about the situation. So at this point, it really devastated me. It didn't devastate me. Strong word. I would say disappointed me, because it was a really good opportunity for someone to exercise their maturity and for a possibly good friendship to come and business partnership to come out of our rekindling. And it didn't. And I think that that's something that happens with nice guys and nice girls, that if they really want something, whether it's sex or a relationship, or want something from that person, they really destroy all other aspects of a relationship that they could possibly have with that person, because that's not what they want. And in the end game, it's not really about truly wanting to connect with that person. It's about wanting to get what they want out of the relationship and not considering the other person, not considering what that other person truly wants or needs in that relationship. It's really just about them. And this is, you know, something where Michael is a nice guy, and possibly in a way is continuing to be a nice guy without even acknowledging the fact that he hasn't changed. He's just changed in a different way and is acting out his nice guy tendencies in a different, sneakier way that he probably isn't picking up on. And it's kind of sad. And I'm just kind of talking about this in terms of being a former nice girl myself and having moments where I even slip. I mean, we're not perfect, and I'm not perfect by any means. But at least acknowledging when you're doing that and owning up to it, I think that's a good thing for former nice guys and nice girls to do. It's just to own up when you are having that nice guy or nice girl moment. Now, for my opinion of the day, do I think that nice girls and nice guys would ever be good together or ever get together? Well, considering how I used to be a nice girl and Michael was definitely a nice guy at the time, it didn't work out, and it wasn't going to, because I wasn't attracted to him. I was attracted to people who didn't pay attention to me and didn't want to have anything to do with me and weren't really attracted to me. Maybe attracted to me a little bit, but they were going out of the way to be nice to me and things like that. That was a turnoff to me as a nice girl. And as a nice guy, because the nice guy thinks that doing nice things and being super overly saturated corn syrup sweet is the way to attract a female, it's just going to turn the nice girl off. And the same thing with the nice girl being overly needy and overly nice and pushovery and shit and always wanting the attention of the nice guy. He's just going to find her fucking annoying. There's no way. I feel like with nice girls and nice guys, they're probably both going to repel each other. And if there was ever some freak accident where a nice guy and a nice girl were kind of attracted to each other, I think that it would fizzle out. It'd probably be like a friends with benefits thing, and they both would just hate each other and lose contact, or they could possibly be in a relationship. But that relationship would be so shaky in the foundation that it would just never last. Yeah, I don't think that nice girls and nice guys could ever get together. And if they ever did, that would be when the space-time continuum just would completely collapse on itself. I feel like it's just, everything would just cease to exist at that point. I feel like that'd be some kind of like Hadron Collider shit where you get a black hole that forms and everybody just gets sucked up in this abyss of craziness. But besides the point of that, goddamn, that was a crazy rant. It has been a busy week, guys. Yeah, that's my story. So that was when Harper met a nice guy and happened to befriend a nice guy. And that's what happens when you're friends with a nice guy. He possibly likes you, and you go for coffee, talk about shit, and he tries to have sex with you again. It's the moral of the story. If you're going to be with a nice guy, whether friend or otherwise, you have to understand that even if he apologizes, actions speak louder than words. So just look for the actions compared to what the person is saying, and always stay in tuned to those boundaries, the dead zone boundaries that I talked about in my earlier episode. And if those ever come up, that's a red flag for you, and you say, look, I need to figure out what's going on with this person, because I can't go further in a relationship if they're already breaking down my boundaries. Hope you guys enjoyed that story, and it's gonna be several more stories to come. I think I'm going to add in some more nice guy content, if you like, for my listeners who would like to give their opinions about the show or would like to share stories of their own. I would love to talk about your stories on the podcast, or someone who would like to be a guest speaker thinks that they have an experience with the nice girl, nice guy who are or have been. You can email me through nicegirlrehab@gmail.com. Again, that's nicegirlrehab@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from my listeners. Thank you again for sticking around, and be safe out there, babes. Have a beautiful night.